Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, today we're going to do some fun stuff. We're going to work on your situation of a life of quiet desperation, but we're going to work at it from the fun side. Like, how do we fix that, right? And I want to bring up a lot of really good information today about real estate investing that I've learned over the years. And I'm going to share with you one of the interesting deals that I've done. I've done a tremendous number of very, very profitable, very interesting deals. Now, the reason I'm showing you these is not because you'll do this specific deal. Like all really good real estate deals are completely different. You know, you're going to have to find the set of circumstances that makes this work. By the way, I'm going to share with you what the circumstances are. But before we get started in that, I would like to share with you this concept. Ever since I started mentoring and teaching people, I've noticed and I paid attention to all of the YouTube people out there that are claiming to be millionaires. All these young kids go, you know, I'm a millionaire, and whatever it is they do. I mean, there's 1,000 things on the YouTube that people say they do to make money. Most of it's marketing and internet sales. And, you know, it's like they're all, everybody's product is to go sell somebody their product. At some point, you have to ask yourself, I was talking to somebody the other day, I said, you know, if everybody out there is learning to be an AI guy, who do the AI guys sell their product to? If everybody out there is learning to be marketing person, who do they sell their marketing skills to? This is an interesting concept. And of course, if you're listening to their sales pitch, it's everybody. Everybody needs marketing skills. Everybody needs AI skills. Everybody needs this. Well, that is true. But everybody needs a place to live too, right? And the difference is that your AI skills can be learned by somebody else and replaced. And they fire you and hire somebody. I know, because as I was going through trying to revamp my marketing system, I lost my really good marketing person. She left to go have 3 kids and get married and, you know, stop being my ride till you die person that I had for 10 or 15 years. She's long around for a long time, but she did everything perfectly. Not perfectly. What am I saying? She did everything so well. I never had to pay attention. So when she left, we needed new marketing people. So we started paying attention to marketing people, right, to see what was going on. But as you go through this stuff, you find out that these people, they come and they go and they come and they go because they're not really as good as they think. It's 8,000 people have taken this course on how to do marketing, and then they tell you they're marketing experts because this guy told them if you can say these things and do these things, you'll be a marketing expert also. All right, where am I going with this? Well, it's a little different in real estate. In real estate, we own a piece of real estate. You can't replicate that. That's the beautiful thing about what we do. We own a physical asset that people need, and they need it and continue to need it on and on and on and on and on. So that puts us in a position that, number one, our income stream is always in demand. Now, does it go up and down? Does demand go up and down? Yes. Real estate gets overbuilt sometimes, gets underbuilt sometimes. The demand curve goes up and down and up and down and up and down. But what happens is if you do what we teach you to do here at Lifestyles, what I teach you to do, is we're working on the product that's in the middle. We don't go for the really low stuff that can't afford real estate when times get tough. People at the bottom can't afford real estate and they go away. They go live with other people. They move in with their relatives. They just disappear. And all of a sudden, you know, where you had 10 tenants, there's only 5. People at the top, the same thing happens. When a new apartment complex is built right across the street from you, what will happen is they will come in and lower the rents to like 50 cents on the dollar to fill this empty building up. You got 300 units, brand new. You got to fill them up. So what they're going to do is they've got a better product than you because theirs is brand new. It's right across the street. And they lower the rents to 50%. or some other type of marketing campaign, you know, free rent for X number of months, you know, this or that. And they really put a burden on you and kind of knock you out of the park. So really being in the center where the top problems of new product coming and going, and the bottom problem of people getting poor and broken, whatever, is really the best place to be in real estate. That's where I like to be. I feel comfortable that tomorrow you're going to need a place to live. And so I'm happy there. Well, having said that, you know, we go out there and we buy these properties. And once we have one, it starts producing income for us. Now, unlike the I'm going to go be a marketer stream of income, you're going to have to get up and go to work every day and produce those streams of income. Yeah, if I put them in place, they'll work and continue to work forever. But that's not what I found. What I found is that these marketing guys come in and say, well, I'm going to set up all these streams of income for you. I'm going to shoot all these clips for you. You can go out there and be live. And it only take a couple hours a day, a couple hours a month or whatever. And I'm just going to leave you alone with all that and you're going to be fine. Well, that isn't really what happens. What really happens is if you're not watching your marketing, if you're not watching what you're putting out there, how it's affecting people, whether people are clicking through it and interested in what you have, if your offer's not good enough, if these 1,000 variables are not right, then your marketing doesn't work. Well, it's kind of the same thing in real estate, except for the fact that you got one thing, and that is you got a place to live. So the ultimate in this situation is that you still have a place to live and you have something that people want. It's a little bit of a different variable, if you can understand what I'm saying. So today we're going to go through why these situations come up that will be very, very profitable if you are aware of them and are looking for them, and if you understand how to do it. So, you know, the concept is here, I want to teach you as much as I can about this so you can see it, start looking for it, start understanding it. But the reality is, if you're really going to do one of these, you're going to need to come in, and we're going to need to teach you the details of how this is done so you can do it right and not make a mistake. And of course, you know, the mistakes could cost you money, and the money that it costs you could be tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars of errors. So to pay a little bit of money to come in and get educated is definitely the most valuable thing you can do. I know that I didn't make a lot of mistakes in real estate because I got educated before I did it. And by the time I did it, and at the level I did it at was so low that I'd already had answers to most of my questions when they came up. Then as I started growing, I had to go to different mentors at different levels to learn different things and so forth. And as lifestyles got developed, we had thousands of people and we were able to develop all these ideas for you out there to be able to learn and grow with without really growing. So having said all that, we're going to get started here. But before, I have one more statement I want to make that's really important. And that is, throughout my years of watching all these people on YouTube, watching all these people in real estate come and go, the one thing I've always thought was interesting is how people call themselves millionaires. And what do I mean by that? Well, I have always said there's like five levels of being a millionaire. You go, Dell, there's only one level of being a millionaire. Either you're a millionaire or you're not a millionaire. That's what you would think, right? But let's talk about it. The first level when I thought I was a millionaire was when I had $1 million worth of real estate. Interestingly enough, I had $900,000 worth of debt. I owned $1 million worth of real estate. I had 900 grand in debt. I had $1 million worth of stuff I could show people, so I called myself a millionaire. All right, I fell for it too. Everybody does. Second thing is when you own enough real estate, let's say $2 million, and you only have $1 million worth of debt on it, now you actually are, your net worth is $1 million. And you may very well be that by the time you look at the net worth of your house and your 401k and your IRA and your savings account, you add it all up, maybe you have a rent house or two and you're worth $1 million. The next level, though, is the one I'm going to talk about today, which is, did you ever really make $1 million in one transaction? Have you ever really seen $1 million cash in your hands, put it in your savings account, boom, you have it, you're a millionaire. A true cash in the bank millionaire, not just net worth. You can't get to your net worth. But this is $1 million cash, a whole nother level. Then, of course, the next two levels are even beyond that. The next one is you make $1 million a year, and literally it's on your tax return. I made over $1 million. And the next one is you make $1 million a month, so which means you literally make $12 million a year or better. Now, there's way bigger than that, but that's as large as my brain goes. There are people out there that are billionaires. They make, you know, more than $1 million a month. They may make $10 million a month or $20 million a month or whatever. Hey, the most I think I've ever made is $1 million a month. I think that's my success zone. And I was happy with that. I mean, I figured out how to live on that, jokingly. The bottom line is I could live on probably $10,000 a month. But the bottom line is that when you make that much money, you have that much money to spend, and you grow, and your wealth grows, and your family's wealth grows, and it goes generational at that point, and all that good stuff. But we're not on that today. We're on today, how do you make that first $1 million and really take that $1 million home with you? So I've got a deal here I want to talk to you about. I'd already done a bunch of deals. This isn't my first deal. But this was the first, what I would consider, mid-sized deal that I ever did. It was 64 units. And what had happened was I found a guy that wanted to sell his 64-unit apartment complex, or so I thought. And so I met with the guy. The guy was really neat. The guy owned golf courses, country clubs. He owned high-rise buildings. He owned grocery stores. I mean, the guy owned massively expensive pieces of commercial real estate. He was very, very successful. And he said that, I have this 64-unit apartment complex. It's just been sitting over here for 10 years. Nothing's been done with it. And it really should be worth double what I'm asking for it right now. He wanted $1 million for it. He said it's really worth $2 million. But it's been just neglected. It's nothing in my portfolio type of deal. And so some lucky guy is going to get the opportunity to buy it for $1 million and turn around, fix it up, make it worth $2 million. And so I was negotiating with him in the deal, and I said, look, here's the reality of this, sir. This place is in really bad shape. And there's like a 20% vacancy, which I think was 13 out of 64 units were empty. Just empty, right? His rents were $100 a month too low across the board. His one bedrooms were $300 a month. His two bedrooms were $400 a month. And they should have been $400 for one bedrooms and $500 for two bedrooms and so forth. Just ridiculously poorly operated. And so I negotiated a deal with him. I said, look, I tried to get the lower price. He wouldn't go below the million. Again, this guy knew what he was doing. He was a stud. I was a kid. And he knew that, but he kind of liked me because I was kind of an aggressive kid, and I'd done a bunch of other deals. And I said, well, here's what we need to do. I said, this property cannot get a loan. I mean, you're 80% occupied. Fannie's not going to finance that. So what I need to do is I need to take it over and fix it. So will you owner finance it for me so I can fix it? Then I'll take it and get a loan on it and pay you off, get you out of the deal. And the guy said, okay, let me think about that for a second. And he said, give me some information about you. So I gave him all kinds of stuff. Luckily, I had, when I first started investing in real estate, found a guy that had decided to get out of real estate because he had built up an entire retirement plan of houses and fourplexes, and he was going to leave it to his kids. And when he did, and he left it to his kids go, we don't want anything to do with it. Dad, we don't want to do this stuff. So he was stuck with this stuff. He wanted to retire and not operate it anymore. Thought his kids were going to operate it for him. So he sold it to me. And he owner financed the entire thing. He started with one house. He said, I'll owner finance you one house and see if it works. And I did one. I paid him like clockwork. And I said, okay, what about your other 10 houses? He sold me the other 10 houses. And I owner financed those with him. And then I said, what about your fourplexes? So he sold me all of his fourplexes, and he owner financed those to me. So he and I had this owner finance relationship going way back. In addition to that, I had bought these 10 units. I've told you guys this story before. It was 5 duplexes, 10 units, and I bought it. And I completely renovated that and sold it. And I did all that on an owner finance note. So I had two major owner finance people that were willing to testify that I had done everything I said I would do, never missed a payment. I was the man. I also had good credit. So he looked up my credit, yeah, I think you're the guy to do this. I think it really you've got past experience, you've got history. You've always taken care of paying the payments on the notes that people have given you. I'm going to go ahead and do it with you. I say, great, can I get $100,000 down? He goes, no. I mean, the guy wouldn't let me win anything in the negotiation. He says, nope, I need $200,000 down. That's 20% down on the $1 million. And I said, okay. I mean, he wouldn't let me win the negotiation. And I said, okay, because I knew that I could really get the down payment down. And using creative financing, I could do that. I'm going to go into it in a second here. So we agreed to that. We agreed to a 6% note on $800,000 loan that he would give me. And the loan was for, I think it was for like 3 years. You know, you have to get this whole thing done in 3 years and give me my money back. Get me out of this thing. I said, okay. So we agreed to the whole thing. We signed the contracts up. And I went in and inspected the property. And the property was worse than I thought it was. When I inspected, I go, man, this thing is terrible. And after I inspected and found not only were there vacant units, that the units that were there were in bad repair. The roof was in bad repair. The mansards were in bad repair. It just was. The landscape was terrible. So I went back to the guy and tried to renegotiate. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you how this guy saved my life and made me my first $1 million just with the discussion, the conversation we had at that time. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
What if you had a plan to build income outside your job? At Lifestyles Unlimited, you'll learn how people are investing in real estate to grow their income and make smarter financial choices one property at a time. Right now, join us for just $297. That's a savings of $443 off our real estate education program. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today I'm telling you how I made my first $1 million transaction where I walked away with $1 million. And it comes from a 64-unit apartment complex I bought from a very, very wealthy man. And I had just gone and inspected the property. I came back to him, and I was trying to renegotiate the deal. And I, from the very beginning, nothing that I had negotiated with this guy really worked, right? It just didn't at all. So whatever he said kind of worked. And but this time I was really adamant. I went, man, there's a lot of stuff wrong with this. And so I went back to him, and he said, Del, I really like you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you make $1 million. Yep, that's what I'm going to do. By telling you a story. My dad died about 10 years ago. And when he died, my mother made me promise as I took over my father's estate. And, you know, this guy, like I said, he owned golf courses. He owned hotels. He owned, you name it, big time stuff. He was a multi-mega millionaire. Said, My mom made me promise to take care of my little brother. So what I did was I bought him this little 64-unit apartment complex, paid cash for it, had an NOI, net operating income, of $100,000 a year. It made $100,000 a year with no debt. Gave it to him with no debt. Didn't charge him interest on the debt. You know, I paid for the whole thing. And I told him, look, this thing's in terrible repair. Its rents are way below market. All you have to do is go in there, fix it up, raise the rents, fill up the occupancy, and it'll be worth $2 million, and you'll make $1 million on this thing. You can pay me off then when you make the $1 million, and that's your nest egg. There you are. You're a millionaire at a young age. And you know, I did that for him. And for 10 years, my brother owned this place and never did a thing. He sucked $100,000 a year NOI out, never paid me interest, never paid me back. And finally, I just foreclosed my note on my own brother. So now I own this. I don't want it. I never wanted it. I gave him an opportunity to make $1 million. Now I'm giving you an opportunity to make $1 million. If you are smart, you will stop negotiating with me. You will agree to the contract we've already agreed to, and you will buy this thing, turn it around, make it worth $2 million, and pay me off. I said, thank you. I'll do it. It's one of those times in my life, and there have been many, many times in my life, where I've come to that crossroads where I thought, man, I want more. And somebody stronger than me said, no, take what I'm giving you and do something with it. And I can tell you many stories like this. It's why I'm successful, is because when I run up against that thing where I know I can't go any further, I'm willing to just go ahead and do something that works. So I took it over. And here's what I know he knows it. That's why he wouldn't go below $200,000 down. I knew he knew this, right? But here's what happened. When I went to buy it, first of all, he had to give me the rent. The rent was about $40,000. He owed me the whole month's rent. When you buy something, the rents that are being collected, you get the rents for that month. So he owed me $40,000. He also, believe it or not, had to pay real estate commissions on this deal. And what he did or didn't know, I think he did know it, was that my real estate company, the one I owned, actually was the co-agent in this deal. So his agent that had put it out there for sale was paying my agent 3%. Well, my agent was my company. It was me. So it was $30,000 I got. So he owed me $40,000 in rents at closing, $30,000 real estate commissions, right? In addition to that, he owed me security deposits of $5,000. And in addition to that, he owed me property taxes of $30,000. In other words, the taxes for the year were due, and he owed them to me. So he had to pay me $30,000 for the property taxes on this thing. So there you go. That's only 3% of $1 million. But all that together. Oh, and one other thing. He had a laundry room that didn't have any laundry equipment in it. His brother had never even bothered to fix the laundry equipment, and we were just sitting there. So what I did was I went out and found a laundry company that would put the laundry equipment in, and they would take the rental income from the laundry equipment, pay me a pittance on that, but up front they'd give me $25,000 for putting the laundry equipment in. All told, and I got to add this up real quick here, that's 30, 70, 100, 125. That's $125,000 I was paid at closing. I needed to bring $200,000, so all I had to have was $75,000 to buy $1 million worth of real estate, which is unbelievable. I was so proud of myself. I've told this story, you know, I'm 70 years old now. I've been teaching for 36 years. I've told this story for 30 years to people. It is just And so what happened? Well, here's what happened. The units were rented. And I got to look at my time, make sure I tell the story within enough time here. The units were rented for $300 a month for one bedrooms and $200 or $400 a month for the two bedrooms. There was about 40 and 24. There was more one bedrooms. So the first thing we did was we went in there and we got rid of the vacant units. And the 13 vacant units on average was about $450 a month rent. That was about $5,800 a month times 12. That was $70,000 a year in income we added, $70,200. Then we raised across the time as leases came due, we would raise everybody's rent $100 a month. And again, you go, well, you can't do it. They go, hey, every other unit on the street was $100 more or better. Some were $200 more. But it was just this guy had never changed the rents in 10 years. Think about it. You're living in a one bedroom. It's only $300 a month. Are you going to leave because it goes to $400? The answer is no. And so we raised the rents $100 a month across the board. And that was another $61,000. So all told, we changed the income of this property by $131,000 over the next 18 months between filling it up and, as the leases all came due, raising the rents. We now had a net operating income that had gone from $100,000 to $231,000. When it was worth $100,000 NOI, it was a 10 cap rate back then. So, and a 10 cap rate, that made this thing 10 multiple was worth $1 million. And that's what I paid for it, the 10 multiple. But now the NOI was $231,000. So it was worth $2,310,000. $2,314,000 is actually what it was. I then went to the bank and said, I'd like to borrow 80% of this. The new loan would be $1,850,000. And I paid off the $800,000 to the guy who sold it to me, leaving me $1,050,000, $1,051,000. And then there were closing costs involved, which, you know, things like you have to pay points, you have title insurance, you have legal fees. There's all kinds of things I had to do to get it closed. And that was another $50,000. So I literally walked away with $1,001,000 tax free. Now think about that. I walked away from the closing with $1,001,000 tax free. If you could have seen the smile on my face, and what's interesting is the guy came to the closing. He had the biggest expensive watch I've ever seen. I mean, it was so big, just unbelievable. And the guy's really nice, clean-cut guy that was only about 40 years of age. And he was a mega millionaire because it was in his family's wealth that he got it. But he was nice, and he looked at me and goes, Del, I'm really happy you decided to do this. I was really afraid you were going to screw this up like my brother did for 10 years. Do you understand? I tried to give my brother $1,000,000, and he just spit it back at me. I'm so happy you didn't. And right then and there, I knew what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I knew real estate was going to be it because, man, if you can make $1,000,000, have you ever had a $1,000,000 check in your hand? It changes you, who you are, because now you see the world from a completely different point of view. And it was tax-free. So it was an incredible first-time thing to ever accomplish, to come away from the transaction with $1,000,000, put that in the bank, and there it is, boom, a real $1,000,000. Not just $1,000,000 worth of equity, not just $1,000,000 worth of real estate, but $1,000,000 cash at closing, and still own the property and still made about $15,000 a month on the property from there on out. Now, what's important to learn from this experience? Number one, most important thing to learn is that you have to find a motivated seller. Deals are done with motivated sellers. This seller could have said to me and could have said to the marketplace, hey, this thing's worth $2,000,000. And I think his brother had tried to sell it for $2,000,000 and make a profit on it, but he had done nothing. It wasn't really worth $2 million yet. And you have to understand that, number one, people are going to try to sell you their property based on what it will be worth once you do a bunch of work and you change things around and you make it better and go, you know, if you do all these things, it'll be worth $2 million. And you go, of course it is, but that's how I make my money. It's not worth that today, and I'm going to be willing to pay $1,000,000 only because that's what it's worth today. The only reason I was able to win that argument was because we had a motivated seller. We had a brother that had been waiting for 10 years for his younger brother to get the job done and finally just got disgusted. He wanted his $1,000,000 back. And so he said, I'm going to sell it for $1,000,000 and get my $1,000,000 back, period. Boom. That's it. End of story. So you're not really looking for real estate. You're looking for motivated sellers. Number two, if you want to make a big, giant amount on a piece of real estate, you got to find something that needs to be fixed. Something's wrong. Somebody has neglected it. There's vacancy that can be repaired. You know, and you have to know the difference, because if you don't know the difference, you get in there and have vacancy you can't repair because there's some systemic problem, then you're going to get killed. That's why you come take the course with me and let me mentor you through the deal. Let me mentor you through the deal, right? So I could see that, you know, you need to find something that has opportunity to it. And this particular deal had all kinds of opportunity. It was in bad repair, which meant I could fix it up and make it worth more just because it would be nice again and people would pay more just because it was nicer. It had vacancy, so I could fill up the vacancy and make the net operating income go up. The rents were too low, so I could raise the rents. They were easy to raise because they were below market rent. It wasn't like I was taking market rate rents and just increasing the rent. I was taking something that was below market rate rents by $100 a unit easily. And truth of the matter is, after I raised it 100, I have two or three more stories to go with it where I bought the next property across the street and the one down the street. And once I had control of all three properties on the street, then I raised the rents again another $100 because now I controlled the marketplace on that street. If you wanted to live in that area, you pretty much had to rent from me. I owned five apartment complexes within, believe it or not, four blocks of each other. three of them up and down. Three of them were on one street within a block and a half of each other, and two of them were down the other street on like a, an L shape, go down the other street, and there's two more right around the corner for them. And five complexes, 500 units within three, four blocks. I dominated that corner. You want to live in that area? Your grandma lived in that area. Your brother, sister, mother, father, cousin, your kids went to school in that area. You wanted to live in that area, you had to rent from me. So now I was able to control, manipulate the rents in that area and make them go up and up and up and up. The next thing you have to understand is that if you're going to get people to negotiate with you, you have to have credibility. You have to have credibility to the broker to even let them or even have them take you to the seller. If you're a wishy-washy individual and you have no past experience, then no one's going to take you to the broker and tell the broker, this is a good guy for you. He'll close on the deal. Because most people that kick tires and negotiate, they never really close the deal. I had proof that I had closed tons of deals already. I'd owned 107 houses. I'd owned a 10-unit, a 20-unit, a 30-unit. And a 40-unit. Believe it or not, literally, I bought a 10-unit, I literally bought a 20-unit, I literally bought a 30-unit, I literally bought a 40-unit. Now I was on to my 64-unit. It was just the natural progression. They could see I was the guy. Hey, if he's already done all these small ones, this one's a good size for him. This is a natural progression for him. It fits him. So I had credibility that I could do the deal, that I could close the deal, that I had the money, I had good credit. And good credit doesn't really mean as much when you're using commercial financing, but when you're doing owner financing, it meant a lot because people wanted to know they were going to get paid in this deal. The other thing that you have to understand about this situation is that I knew how to turn it around. I had already done so many different projects, right? So let's go back and talk about you. Now you go find something like this. First of all, you don't have any credibility yet. You need to come here and let me work with you. Think about it this way. I'm the big brother. Just like the little brother had the big brother that bought the deal for him, I'm the big brother with you that stands there and goes, we have the credibility to do this. We understand how it's doing it. I got my guy here. He's going to buy it. I'm going to be with him, watching him the whole way. Boom, all of a sudden you have something called associated credibility that you don't have without me standing next to you, okay? So you got associated credibility to get the broker to listen to you. You got to get the mortgage broker to believe in you. You're going to have to get the seller to believe in you. All these belief zones before you get anywhere. Then you're going to have to know enough to negotiate the deal from a logical point of view. When you negotiate, if you don't know what you're talking about, people will just laugh at you. They're just going to go, but that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense at all. And then it'll be a tell. The tell is that you don't know what you're doing. And they don't want to do business with you. They want to do business with somebody they know is going to solve the problem. What is the problem? I don't want this piece of real estate anymore. Solve that for me. Take it off my hands. I need to know that you actually can do that. So that's what happens is that you come in here. We teach you how to do it. We teach you how to find these deals. And then we work with you to get through the process and the deal. In fact, when I get off this right now, I'm going to go in here. I got two or three different people right now already lined up with me today to meet on deals that we're going to walk through and go after. That's what you need to do. You need to get in here and start looking for the deals that's going to change your life. But remember, we're not doing this just for some money. We're doing it for a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.